Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
For the Word of God. Hallelujah. I really thought I had a message for this week, and the Lord shifted. Take him to another passage altogether, and he wants to speak about hindrances to growth. You know, my heart's cry is for this place to just explode in growth. What are we going to do? Explode in growth. Is that your heart today? Or are you happy with a little church of 35 to 50 people max? Are you happy to see empty chairs? Are you happy to mix with a community that doesn't know God and doesn't want to know God? Are you happy to just sit in your holy little huddle and believe God is going to send Jesus back soon and it'll all be okay? That'd be an easy out, wouldn't it? How often in our human nature and sometimes in our spiritual walk, we look for an easy out. I've got myself into this, now what's the easy way out? I don't believe in our call that God's ever offered us an easy way out. I don't believe in my heart that witnessing to people about Jesus is ever going to be easy. But it's going to be a calling, it's going to be an anointing that takes you out of your comfortability into your calling. I see the two linked, but they're separated. Amen? How many of you tried to witness Jesus to people and really been shut down? Shut down, shut down, shut down. This is very echoey. I don't know how it sounds out there, but I've got this ringing hold back. I want to talk this morning about what would hinder growth. What would hinder personal growth? What would hinder growth within your family? What would hinder growth in this church family? What would hinder growth and in our community? We've talked over the last, I don't know how many weeks now, about growth. How important it is for each of us to grow. God's intention, right from Genesis 1, was for things to grow, to shift in their position, to shift in their maturity, from just being something into something God designed them to be. Amen? I believe God's got us on this path deliberately to show us that there's an ability to grow. There is a plan for us to grow. For you individually to expand yourself further than you thought even possible. And I believe with all my heart, 2017 is the year it's going to happen. I've already sensed the hunger in amongst the congregation. People wanting to change. People wanting to move from just being mundane, ordinary, plain. Amen? So this morning, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just want to share some thoughts about Moses and the people of Israel. All heard about Moses. You know Moses, the great leader. The guy who never stuffed up. The guy who never made mistakes. The guy that fulfilled every dream that God had promised him. Because he is so perfect, just like you and I. Moses made mistakes. You and I make mistakes. That doesn't wipe us out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Let's begin in verse 1 of this passage here, because it caught my attention the other day when the Lord was speaking to me and he said, I want you to teach on this. Paul writing to the church in Corinth. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Please follow as best you can. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them, and every one of them, everyone say every one of them? Did anyone miss out? Because the Bible says every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea. And each one of them allowed himself also to be baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were thus brought under obligation to the law, to Moses, and to the covenant, consecrated and set apart for the service of God, the Amplified says. consecrated, set apart, the service of God. Verse 3, and all of them, everyone say, all of them, ate the same spiritual, supernaturally given food, and they all drank the same spiritual, supernaturally given drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock, which followed them, that is produced by the soul power of God Himself without natural instrumentality, and the rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, pause, there's a comma. God was not pleased with the majority of them, for they were overthrown and strewn down along the ground in the wilderness. How many went through the Red Sea? How many were protected by the cloud? How many were protected by the fire? How many were fed? How many were watered? God was not pleased with the great majority of them. Come down to verse 10. Nor discontentedly complain, as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, death. Discontentedly complain. The whole list of things in those verses from 6 down to 9. Verse 10 is what stood out to me the other day. Discontentedly complain, as some of them did. I want to look this week about how complaining can hinder our growth. This might be meant for another church, not for this one, because I know there's no complainers here. Parents, have you ever taken your children somewhere? You've saved your hard-earned money, you've set money aside, you've sacrificed things, and you go to this particular, we'll call it a theme park, an amusement place, a playground, or a holiday, whatever it may be, and they go, I don't like it here. Too hot. Wanted somewhere cooler. Rather sit in a cafe and drink iced coffee than be out in the sun. Didn't want to come and see this movie. Why didn't you take us to another movie? You know, I jokingly said that the average Australian complains 70 times a day. The average Australian. And we're above average, so that's okay. But I pondered the thought about how much we complain during a day without us realizing it. The Bible in the New King James Version talks about the word murmuring. Verse 10, it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. The word murmur is a Greek word, gongozo, G-O-N-G, good, G-O-O-D-Z-O, gongozo. It means to grumble, to murmur, to complain. I like this one. To bleat, to protest. I like this one. To whine, with an H in it, not the stuff you drink. And to find fault. Go back to verse 5. It really started to get into my spirit. God was not pleased with the great majority of them. It cost them their life. The Bible says in Numbers that they said it would be better off if we were back in Egypt. They actually went on to say it would be better off that we died in Egypt or we died here in the wilderness. I'm thinking to myself, 400 years in captivity. Generations come and go, gone in slavery. Cruel slave taskmasters. Horrible living conditions. Living as slaves, telling your grandchildren, this is the way it's always been. Although somewhere back in history, I believe God cared for us. But it looks like God's taking his hand off us now. And then this guy called Moses comes onto the scene. And he stands before the ruler of Egypt, the Pharaoh himself. And he says, let my people go. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And yet the people say it would be better off if we died in Egypt or died in the wilderness. They were standing on the side of the River Jordan. They were looking across to that land of promise, that land that God had promised them 40 years before. As they left Egypt, showered with food, gold, silver, precious gems, stock, anything they needed, the Egyptians said, just go. Just take as much as you can carry. Go. We don't want you anymore. They stood at the edge of the Red Sea and they looked back and the Egyptians were right behind them. God says, I'm going to make a way, but God, there is no way. And he parts the Red Sea and they walk through on dry land. Can you picture it? 1.5 million people plus walking across a sea that's been held back by God. And they walk across on dry land. Not one of them fails to make the journey. They look back and see the sea fold back over those Egyptian warriors. God says to them, you will see them no more. 3 days later, they're complaining. God, where are you, God? Yeah, it's really interesting. But God actually hears their complaints and takes note of their complaints and he answers their wishes. Not long after, they complain and murmur as a group and say, God, we wish we died in Egypt. God, we wish we died in the wilderness. God makes a declaration. He said, I will do as you say. And everyone over the age of 21 years of age will die here in the wilderness. And they did. You've heard Joyce Meyer. I've heard Joyce Meyer about guarding your tongue. You've heard me preach it. You've heard other preachers preach it. Guard your tongue. So let's have a look at what caused this murmuring. What caused this complaint? What caused God's people to displease him? We're going to go back into the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. We're starting in chapter 14. We're going to go right through to Revelation. We're a complaining lot, though, seriously. One part of human nature that God allows us to walk in is our ability to complain. Too hot, too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry. They're too fast, they're too slow, they're too soft, they're too loud. They don't dress like I do, they should dress like I do. They don't talk like I do, they should talk like I do. He's always preaching at us. Why doesn't he preach to us? Let's pick up in verse 10 of Exodus 14. It says this. When Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked up. See, Trudy, they looked up. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and the Israelites were exceedingly frightened and cried out to the Lord. There we go again. We wait till we're exceedingly frightened, and then we turn to the Lord. How many times do you read that in Scripture? And then they turned to the Lord. Or then they cried out. Seriously, folks. And they said to Moses, Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? I don't remember reading anywhere in the scripture that they complained they were leaving slavery. I think the word was rejoiced. Amen? Am I wrong in this? Isn't it good when the favor of the Lord is upon us, but when our comfort is threatened, we blame either God or we blame someone else? These people could have said, you know what, Moses? I'm going to stay in Egypt. I could probably get your job if you leave. Let's read on, because it's interesting how they talk about stuff in here. Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you in Egypt, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness? Verse 13, Moses told the people, fear not. Woohoo! Stand still. Yay. Firm, confident, and undismayed, the Amplified says, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. I believe that's a prophetic scripture for someone here this morning. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. If that's for you, praise the Lord. Goes on, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. That's easy for God to say through Moses, isn't it? That the Lord will fight for you. They're more concerned about dying in the wilderness than they are for the Lord protecting them. He got us this far, why can't we go any further? Got this Red Sea in front of us. Looks pretty daunting. No time to build a bridge. No time to build a raft. Moses, what are you going to do about it? The Lord speaks. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. That's a great scripture, isn't it? Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Tell the people of Israel to advance. Friends, I believe this is our season to go forward. I believe for a church this size, it's time for us to mount up as though on wings of eagles, to soar above and not keep looking down, to keep our eyes fixed firmly on the author and the perfecter of our faith, to look unto Jesus with all things, letting go of sin that so easily entangles us, being aware that we're surrounded by a great witness. Stand firm. Have peace. Don't be dismayed. I love this. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Verse 18. The Egyptians shall know and realize that I am the Lord when I have gained honor and glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. The greatness of mankind falls under the hand of the Lord. We know the story. God parts the Red Sea. The Israelites walk through dry ground, get to the other side. The Egyptians start to follow. God waits for them to be in the middle. No turning back. Gone. Amen. Come across to Exodus 15. Getting ahead of myself. Exodus 15, verse 22. And Moses led Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days, 33 miles in the wilderness, and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its waters, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah, which means bitterness. The people murmured against Moses. The people murmured. They complained. They bleated. They found fault. They grumbled. They complained. All those words. What shall we drink? And Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There the Lord made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, saying, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will listen to and obey his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That little word, if. We've done that murmur, complain thing again. And we've all been guilty of it. We're stuck in the middle of something. We don't know how to get out. We start to complain. We have bitterness in our heart. Come across to Exodus 16, very next chapter, verse 1. They set out for Elam. And all the congregation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had left the land of Egypt. The 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt. Watch verse 2. And the whole congregation of Israel murmured, complained, grumbled, groaned, bleated against Moses. At least they included Aaron in this one. The leaders in the wilderness. And they said to them, would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They haven't died so far. Every time there's been a need, God's supplied. Every time there's been a dangerous situation, God's got them through. Every time their lives have been threatened, God's been their saviour. They look to the leadership and they say, Moses and Aaron, you brought us here to die. Wasn't the promise a land flowing with milk and honey? Yes. I don't get it. Verse 4. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from the heavens for you. People should go out and gather a day's portion every day. Oh no, it's work. Hang on. God, can't you just stack it neatly by my tent so I can just slip my hand out? Somebody would have said it, wouldn't they? I've got to get enough food for a whole day. Does God know how many kids I've got to feed and what those teenagers eat? I know, I'll send them to get the food. It says that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. This is the grace of God. Verse 5. On the sixth day, they should prepare to bring in twice as much as they gather daily. Why? So they could have that day of rest that God wanted them to have. That day that was set aside for him. He was so concerned about the detail, he said, on the sixth day you're going to get a double portion so you don't have to work on the seventh. Hope they're good learners. Exodus 17. My goodness. Verse 1. All the congregation of the Israelites moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord. They did that right. Yay! And encamped at Rephidim, that there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you find fault with me? Why do you tempt the Lord and try his patience? For the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, livestock, with thirst? Now, I just want you to just pause there for a minute. I understand that they're in the wilderness. I understand that you get hungry while you're on a journey. I understand that in a wilderness, especially in that area of the world, thirst is a big issue. But God was so good that he let his people go with their families. And I'm reading this and it says, and our livestock. The slaves didn't have any livestock. It wasn't their livestock. It was the Egyptian livestock that God commanded the Egyptians to give to them on the way out. Where's that attitude of gratitude? Where's that thankful heart that says, God, you've provided this far. We're thirsty. Lord, is there any way? I keep reading this word murmured, complained, bitterly complained. It just keeps coming through. I'm not related to them, you know that. That's where the Aussies get it from. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us? To kill us. Not let us die. To kill us. And our children and livestock with thirst. So Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? Almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the rod with which you smote the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Mount Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Isn't that the love of a provisional God that will just provide when there's a need? His resources are amazing. He can part seas. He can make rocks open up and bring out good water. Come on, I don't know too many rocks that I could tap with my stick and get good water out of. He can turn bitter water into sweet water. He can make it rain holy bread, that manna that he provided. Such a holy, provisional bread that God said, I'm going to make it available, not just once, but for enough, for what you need. Amen? He's the God of more than enough. See, sometimes I realize that our comfort and our calling are not tied together. We want to come to Jesus and we want everything, and I mean everything, to be suddenly all right. I was 28 years of age when I came back to the Lord. I'd stuffed up a lot of things along the way. I'd walked away from him 14 years before. Half of my lifetime had been away from him. Half of my lifetime had been semi-close to him. Did God say, I'm going to make you suffer another 14 years until everything's all right? Or did he say, this is a journey, Pastor Lou? He didn't call me Pastor Lou back then. He knew who I was going to be. He said, Lou, I want you to walk the journey of uprightness. Let's come over to Psalm 142. Because, you know, sometimes we get the whole picture because we've got the whole book. But those people walking the journey, they were the writers of history. They didn't get it right so that we could. In actual fact, we should have it comfortful, carefree, because of what the Lord has done through Jesus. Amen? You come to Christ, and you can read the Gospels, you can read the book of Acts about when the Holy Spirit came and set the church on fire and the church was added to daily. Can you see what God's done? But does that make it easier for us? It should, because all the hard work's been done. God so loved the world that he gave his Son as the Prince of Peace, as the Son of Righteousness. as the sacrificial lamb, as your healer, as your deliverer. And then he says, I'm calling my son home, but I'm going to send Holy Spirit. So all the hard work's done. The stage has been set, so to speak. And we just have to walk in it. Now, I use the word just. All we have to do is walk in it. But you and I all know that this world is a hard world. It is a sin-filled world. There's a lot of stuff going around us that gets us off track and off the path and all those things that distract us. And so we've got to fight for what we want. Amen? I think it was Dennis brought up a few weeks ago the scripture in Matthew where it says, heaven suffers violence, violent take it by force. We want heaven on earth, we want it just as a gift in a big box with a lovely pink bow on it. Sometimes you've got to fight hard for what you want. Amen? And I think the children of Israel had so much put before them, they didn't know how to fight properly with the Lord and walk right with Him in order to get what they got. Psalm 142. I'm talking too much, I know. Yes. And it says, I cry to the Lord with my voice. I cry to where? The Lord. It didn't say I go to Pastor Lou with every complaint. When I'm down, I get on to Pastor Lou, Pastor Robin, Chris, Barry and Trudy. I don't go on my Twitter account, my Facebook account, let the whole world know what's going on. David had it right. I cry to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, do I make supplication? I pour out my complaint before Him. And see, the Israelites didn't have this. They were pre-Psalms of David. David's an outworking of what the Israelites couldn't have. But he'd learned something. Whether he'd read some of their stories or heard some of their stories, I don't know. When my spirit was overwhelmed and fainted, throwing all of its weight upon me, then you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a snare for me. Look on the right hand, the point of attack, and see. For there is no man who knows me to appear before me. Refuge has failed me, and I have no way to flee. No man cares for my life or my welfare. I cried to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Tend to my loud cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my life out of prison. I love these words. That I may confess praise, and give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me and crown themselves because of me. For you will deal bountifully with me. I cry to the Lord. With my voice to the Lord do I make supplications. All right, now come back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Here we go again. And the people grumbled and deplored their hardships, which was evil in the ears of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and devoured those in the outlying parts of the camp. The Lord burned among them and devoured those in the outlying parts of the camp. The people cried to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire subsided. That's why God places people in charge, you know. He called the name of the place Deborah, place of burning, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude among them, this is what the Amplified says, the rabble who followed Israel from Egypt. The rabble began to lust greatly for familiar and dainty food. And the Israelites wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Verse 5, we remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt and without cost. Really? Without cost? Really? How easily we forget when we're in the land of provision. Listen to what goes on. The cucumbers, melons, the leeks, the onions, garlic. Oh, I'm just smelling fish and garlic now. Stinky breath. Cucumbers, melons, fish. But now our soul strength is dried up. There is nothing at all in the way of food to be seen but this manna. Good complaint, isn't it? The manna was like coriander seed. And the appearance was like that of beryllium, perhaps a precious stone. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in mortars and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. It tasted like cakes baked with fresh oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. Oh dear, we've got nothing to eat. Manna doesn't sound like nothing to me. Manna sounds like the hand of the Lord providing. Amen? You see what happens when we want comfort and calling together? Sometimes there needs to be a journey to arrive at what God's got planned for you. But to enter into the city, sometimes there's got to be a war waged. To take hold of the promise, sometimes you've got to fight for that promise in prayer. Sometimes the Lord allows situations to grow you and stretch you so you'll be ready for what He's given you. Listen to what they'd come out of. I just noted it briefly. They'd been slaves, most of them for many, many years, but historically, 400 years. They'd been under the yoke of the Egyptians. During that time, they'd lived in a land that wasn't theirs. They were laboring for someone else's glory. They'd gone through pain, oppression, hardship. They'd gone through years of bitterness because they were God's people and they were enslaved. They'd lost their joy. There was no happy times. And they just used to cry and groan in their misery. God saw what they needed and He wanted to give them growth. He wanted to expand them numerically into a land that could supply their need. He wanted desperately to change their situation. He wanted to move them from one level that they'd been on for years to a better and a more glorious level. Take note here this morning that the situation God wanted to change for them wasn't a change that was just going to happen because they went on a journey. God wanted their hearts to be made right. I'd been living on a certain level for over 400 years. And this to me speaks of a situation that God can change even though it doesn't seem possible. 400 years of control. 400 years of setting things into place. 400 years of getting what they wanted when they wanted. And suddenly God appears and the Pharaoh's commanded to let God's people go. Sometimes all God wants is people who are available and willing. Available and willing. Right back in Exodus chapter 3, God reveals to Moses about the change. He wanted this not just for Moses, but he wanted this for all his people. He wanted Moses to share that dream with the people. He wanted the people to lay hold of that vision and that dream that we're going to come out of and we're going to go into. It's going to take a journey. It's a journey of approximately 14 days. It's a wilderness journey. We don't know what to expect when we're out there. We can't believe the Egyptians are actually going to let us go. I hope they do. But as I said earlier, not one of them said, "Leave me here. I'll tough it out for as long as I can." The whole of God's people went out, celebrating, rejoicing, looking forward to, hoping for, putting their trust in God. But again, we hear this murmuring, this complaining, this bitterness, this anger, this disappointment come through the message again and again and again. Finish with this. Moses, as their leader for God, has to pay the price. He has to address and challenge and confront the hard, cruel leader, Pharaoh. He has to face resistance and opposition from even the people that he'd been sent to help. Friends, new growth is not automatic. Something has to be done to get that new growth. And somebody has to be available, and somebody has to be willing to make those changes that will bring about new growth.